what?
Two a day, Shay.
Hey, hadn't heard that in 20 years. I'm grateful y'all are here tonight. It's awesome to see the room and more people showing up and some faces that I love. We're going to go ahead and pass out those bulletins. Those little sheets that she was talking about are inside that bulletin. So if you don't get a bulletin, you don't get that little sheet she was talking about. And along with that, a couple of weeks ago, I handed out some cards. We had some cards handed out that had a QR code on it. And these cards are so that you can give to someone. Gary's got a handful of them over here, I don't know if you've given yours away already because I've asked you to find somebody to give those to. And if you have given them away already, go ahead and take another one and give it to somebody else. It's got that QR code on it, and like I said before, I've not seen anyone who can't resist pulling their phone out and clicking on that to see what it says. So here's Jesslyn's got her hand up for something over here. So make sure you get some of those. Whatever we have left is going to be back there on the table. I'm trying to, we were looking and all we could find left was just a small stack of them. We've looked all over the church and everything to see if we could come up with some more. I'll see how many we have at the end of the service tonight, but I may have to get some more of those made. I did get 250 of them made, so if 250 of those are out there, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I think everybody has what they need. And so what we have done, and it really basically happened without even saying so. All the guys that have preached since we started talking about prayer and the power of prayer have started or ended their message with the Help Us Lord prayer. And so a few weeks ago, Aunt Lori got up here and she's the rebel of the bunch. And so she says, we're not going to start with it. We're going to end with it. So I'm not to be outdone. We're going to end with it tonight. So we're going to go ahead and end with that tonight. But I do want to open with prayer. And so will you pray with me? Amen. That was different, wasn't it? That's not the norm, right? How many of you waited on me to start talking? Come on, be honest. I know you're honest.
I started out with bless the words of your mouth.
Amen. I'm telling you right now, if I was sitting out there, I would have thought this is weird. I would have thought, what is he doing? Why isn't he talking? He said, pray with me. But that's what I said. I said, pray with me. Usually I say, let me lead us in prayer. I said, pray with me that time. So it was weird. It was unfamiliar, right? Very unfamiliar. I have never been in a service where the man standing up front says, okay, I'm going to open up in prayer and not said a word. I've never been in a church service where that happened. Very unfamiliar. So was it wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. But it didn't feel weird. It felt different. Let me tell you something. It felt weird to me. And I knew I was going to do it. Okay, it's different. Why do we think that? We get in a routine, you know. This is how something is supposed to be done, and it makes us feel weird when it's different. I know for me, I'm in such a routine about praying about this service. I go to the bathrooms in this building, and I turn around backwards on the toilet, and I say the same prayer every time. Lord, you know who you're working with. You've heard me say it. You know who you're working with here. I need you to help. I need your help. I say it every time. And why do I say the same prayer and do the same thing every time? Because I've seen it work. I've seen it work, so I'm afraid to step out of that boundary. I'm afraid to step out of that thing that I know that works. I'm afraid to try something different. But is it because we think that, well, if I do it differently, God won't hear me? Or he won't respond the same? I got a really good response when I go to one of these restrooms here, and I go in there and I shut the door and I get by myself. I get a good response. He comes through every time for me when I do that. So if I do something different, I don't know, I'm scared. It's weird, it's different. We already learned that the only time God don't hear our prayer is when we reject what we've been taught. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Proverbs 28:9 says, if you refuse to obey what you've been taught, your prayers will not be heard. What we've been taught is here's God, and he had a son. He has a son. His name's Jesus. He sent him to earth. Jesus walked around here on earth and taught and healed and preached till he was 33 years old. And then we hung him on a cross and we crucified him. We stuck him in a grave, and in 3 days, he walked out alive.
Hallelujah.
And the reason he did that is so you could live with him forever. That's the only reason. If you reject that, then your prayers aren't heard. So however we pray, God's hearing it. Because it's funny to even say that. Because if you reject that, then your prayers are not being heard. Why are you praying anyway if you reject that? That doesn't make any sense. I don't think that you're probably even praying. But if you reject that, your prayers are not heard. That's the only reason, so it doesn't matter if you're sitting backwards on a toilet or if you're standing in front of people and not saying a word, as long as you're praying. So the title of this message is How Should We Pray? And I have this question presented to me just a week or so ago. I was in Lingleville, and we were having our meeting, and it was about prayer. And I can't remember exactly what about prayer, but prayer was in the topic. And there was a young lady there. She's about 18 years old. And, man, she's giving it all she has. And just doesn't have a real spiritual background. Don't know a lot about church. Don't know a lot about God. And she says, I don't even know how to start. How do I talk to something or someone I can't even see? And she was, I don't even have a clue how to, what do I say? What do I even say? Man, and so after the meeting, I got with her. And so several years ago, we were still in the Church of Christ building. We were in an Overcomers meeting, and the topic was prayer. And Pat Whitham got up and started to share about how he sees Jesus in his prayer life. And he grabbed a chair. He grabbed a chair and he set the chair down right in the middle of the circle. And then he got another chair and he sat down and he pulled up and he sat down right in front of that empty chair, and he started talking. And he started talking to the empty chair just like it was his friend. And he started saying, I've had a great day today. You know, here's the things that are going on. Just the same thing you would do if you had a friend that you were talking to and you were telling them about your day. And maybe telling them about some stuff you're stressed out about and worried about. So I was actually able to do that. I went over there after the meeting, and she was still sitting there, and there was another man that was talking to her, and I went and grabbed a chair, and I set it down in front of her, and I said, picture your best friend sitting right there. And she goes, yeah, okay. I said, you got it? I said, now that's Jesus. What are you going to say to him? And she goes, well, hello. I said, there's a start. I said, that's it. Start with hello. That's it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. It says, pray continually and give thanks whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. So we probably heard this scripture a whole bunch of times. You know, I use the New Century Version. And so it says it differently in it. It says pray continually. You may have heard it say pray without ceasing. That saying, pray without ceasing. And then the second part, it says be thankful no matter what happens. What? Be thankful no matter what happens. Do y'all believe that? You've been praying it for months now. Be grateful. Help us, Lord, to be grateful for the blessings and the struggle. You say it every week with me. No matter what happens, be thankful. And that's a long ways to go. For me, that was a long ways to go. To realize that no matter what happens here, it's God's will. Ooh, now I've just opened a whole nother can of worms. God's will. Praying continually. And I want you to write this down. Praying continually simply means to have God's will in mind all the time. See, people try to really complicate God's will. What is God's will? And you know, it wasn't that big of a topic in my life before I got into recovery. But in recovery, God's will is this big topic of everybody, well, what is God's will for me? I need to figure that out, you know? And it's pretty simple. I Googled it. You know, that's what I do. What is God's will? And let me tell you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of answers about what is God's will. And I read a lot of these. I read and read and read, and I'm like, okay, click here, here's another answer. Click here, there's another answer. What is God's will? What I found out by reading all those, they all pointed back to two things. Love God. You can write this down too. Love God and Jesus with all you got. Amen. And love other people with all you got. That's God's will. It's pretty simple. Like I said, I read all kinds of answers to what is God's will. What does He want for me? He wants you to love Him with everything you got. And He wants you to love other people the same way. With everything you got. That's what He wants. You know, it seems to me like I come back to this scripture over and over and over and over again. I think it's just that important. Because He said, what is the most important? What is most important to Him? Matthew 22:36-40. New Century Version. Teacher, which command in the law is the most important? Jesus answered, see, when it says most important, wouldn't you think that would be God's will? It's the most important. Which command is the most important? Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That, to me, means everything you got. This is the first and most important command. And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor, other people, as you love yourself. All the law and the writings and the prophets depend on these two commands. You know, I read all the law and all the writings. I Googled it. There's a lot of writings. There's a whole bunch of answers. They all point back to that. They all point back to that. So if you're praying for God's will in your life, you're really praying for yourself to love God and Jesus more and to love other people. That's really not a bad thing to pray for. In the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 63, it's our third step prayer. And until I really started studying this, I didn't see it. We're praying for God's will in our life right here. It says, this is the third step prayer. It says, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. I underline in that I may better do thy will, that I may love you more. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, other people. Help me love you more, and help me to witness and love other people. I underline those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do thy will always. Even in our third step prayer, it points back to that scripture. It points back to God's will being loving him with all you got and loving other people. So, I can tell you, we do a third step prayer with our sponsors, with our sponsees and sponsors, and talking about praying differently and feeling weird and stuff like that. And really, the first time I did it did the third step prayer with another person, my sponsor didn't have me do it with him that way. He actually said, you been praying anything like this? I said, yeah, from the time I walked in the door. He goes, good, go do your four step. And it was really blunt and sharp with him. But I choose to go an extra step with my guys. And so we get to that part in the steps. And I say, we're ready to do the third step prayer now. And they go, okay, I've heard about this. And we get to that part in the book. And then I say, well, let's get down on our knees. And sometimes you get those looks like, get down on my knees and with you or in front of you. It's humbling for a big strapping man to get down on my knees. What do you mean, get down on my knees? Yeah, it's humbling. It's humbling to do that with someone. It's humbling to do that in front of someone. But to get down on your knees and read that third step prayer and ask for the power to love God and Jesus more and love other people. Man, there's nothing like it. I've had guys come back afterwards and go, that was the most powerful moment that I've had in recovery so far. And every time I do it with someone, it's powerful. So if you're not taking that opportunity to do that, that's a really powerful part of the step three. Jesus actually breaks it all down for us. If you'll turn to Matthew 6. He breaks it all down a little bit, scripture by scripture. How should we pray? That's okay. Matthew 6:5, Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray so people will see them. I tell you the truth, they have already have their full reward. Praying to impress people. I think that's some of us sometimes when we're in a crowd or are new to prayer, this happens. I like to call on folks that I can see, like, there's something with this person. Jesslyn. she knows it now. When she first started coming here, she would show up to the outreaches. And we'd get in a big circle, and there's several of us that are out there, and we'd pray before we even get started. And she'd been on several outreaches, and one Saturday morning, we got in our circle, and I said, hey, Jesslyn, lead us in prayer. And, no, I will next week. Okay, well, next week came. Hey, Jesslyn, lead us in prayer. She thought I might forget. And then she did. And she did it. And then the next week I asked her again. And she did it. She says, I don't know what to say. I don't know. And here's the thing that I tell people all the time. Is like, okay, what you're afraid of is the people around you. You're afraid to talk to Jesus in front of people because you're afraid that you might not use the right words, you might not use the right terminology. I don't know, when I talk to my friends, some of the words you might not want to hear. You know? I just talk. And so what I always say is, like, here's the deal. If you're praying and there's nothing else coming to your mind, you're done. If you say, Lord, thank you for this day, you're done.
Amen. Thank you.
Because after that, you're trying to think of something to say because these people are waiting on you to pray. Say amen. Yep. He'll accept that prayer. That's good enough. Thank you for today. Thank you is enough. Let's see. Verse 6. Let's go on to verse 6. When you pray, you should go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret, and He will reward you. This simply means get alone. Maybe get on your knees. Prepare yourself. Remove any distractions. How about turn the phone off? I'm going and setting aside a specific time to pray. I've already said, I find a stall here in the church, and I go in there and I shut the door behind me and pray. And I do that because I know that no one's going to come in that stall with me. Hopefully. And most of the time, if you can see my feet underneath in a stall, people are going to turn back around. And then if they see my feet turned around backwards towards the wall, they're really going to figure out, well, what the heck is going on here? So I can almost guarantee in the restroom here, I'm going to be alone. But that's one of the things I do. What do you do? Just think about it. What is it that you do that causes you to be alone? Now, Jesus went away to be by himself when it was time to pray, when he wanted to talk to, to God. There was times after he fed the 5,000 that he said, "Whew, I'm tired, I gotta go." And he left them. They didn't know where he went. There was times that he knew what was about to happen, that he knew that he was about to go to the cross. And he told his followers, "Stay here while I go over there and pray." He got away from them and got away from the distractions. He set the example for us. I really try to do this, and I'm not very good at it. I was at the house today, and we got a lot going on in our family right now. My baby's about to have a baby. Prodigals come home.
Amen.
You know, we got a lot of good stuff going on. But the stinking enemy don't like it. And so he's doing everything that he can to cause strife between us and arguments and all that kind of crap. I went into my room today, and I got on my knees. Like I said, I'm not very good at it. But, man, when I'm struggling, I get real good real quick. And so I did today. I got down on my knees, and I prayed that, man, he would get him off our back. Get him off our back. And he can do that. He can do that. Go into your room and close the door. Get alone. Jesus said that's a way to pray. Matthew 6, verse 7 says, "And when you pray, don't be like those people who don't know God. They continue saying things that mean nothing, thinking that God will hear them because of their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him." This verse reminds me of the closing prayer contest. And the churches I grew up in, at the end of the service, before we were dismissed, there's always a closing prayer. And so it seemed to us, to me, that it was a kind of a contest to see that who could stand up here each week, because it was a different person every week that would come up and say our closing prayer. Who could stand up here and pray the longest? Who could continue their prayer and be eloquent when they spoke? And let me tell you what, there was one guy that every single time that it was his turn to come and close us, me and Trina would go, "Okay, we didn't bring a lunch, but here's this guy again." And we knew it was going to be a long prayer. And so he'd get started, and this one particular Sunday, he says, "And Lord, bless the checkout ladies at the grocery store whenever we go buy groceries today after church." It was just like he was thinking up stuff to continue his prayer. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Bless them, but gosh, the Father knows the things that they need before you even ask Him." It was a closing prayer contest. Who could say the most words in their prayer? I don't know. But I thought it was kind of ridiculous. He already knows what you need. I have God Rocks tattooed on my arm. And the reason that I got that tattooed on my arm is, and I've told you this story, our youth group, I was teaching them to pray out loud and teaching them to pray in a group and stuff. And some of them couldn't get any words out, but they could get God Rocks out. Amen. And it's a prayer of praise. Simple two-word prayer. That's it. You don't need to go on babbling. They're trying to be seen by men. Okay, verse 9. Now, we all know this prayer. Jesus tells us how we should pray. He says, so when you pray, you should pray like this. And I want you to listen to this because it's different than how we normally pray. And those that are those of you that are in recovery and go to meetings during the week, most of all your meetings, especially if you're in AA, they close it out. We close our prayers out with this. All our overcomer meetings are closed out with the Lord's Prayer. We close out every single Serenity Church service with the Lord's Prayer. But as you know, I use the New Century Version, and I want you to listen to this. Like I said, it's written a lot more simpler. Listen to this. It says, Our Father in heaven, may your name always be kept holy. Hallowed be your name. Man, I read it like that. It kind of sounds differently. It hits harder for me. May your name always be kept holy. May your kingdom come and what you want be done. God's will. I want what God wants. He wants me to love Him, and He wants me to love Jesus more with everything I got and love other people. May your kingdom come and what you want be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I like this one. Give us food. Give us food we need for each day. That's plain and simple. Forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And do not cause us to be tempted, but save us from the evil one. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. That's what it says there. Help us, Lord. Jesus taught us how to pray. How should I pray? There's a complete outline right there. A complete outline. So, let us pray together. We're going to do the Help Us, Lord prayer. And you notice I said, let us pray together. Right? So, I'll say Jesus is Lord. You say the Help Us, Lord part, and I'll present our request. Jesus is Lord. To be the church for the broken and the powerless.
Help us, Lord.
To be bold about the name of Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
To be grateful for the blessings and the struggle. Thy will be done. Amen. Jonah and the guys want to come on back up. I want to challenge you guys tonight. Something different. I talked about things that are different and praying different and being on your knees and going into a closet or going into a bathroom stall, doing things a little different. God still hears that prayer. Amen. Like I said before, we get into a routine. We get into, well, He answered the prayer when I did it this way. So I'm going to do it that way again, and He's going to answer the prayer again. He's going to answer the prayer no matter what, how you did it. He's going to answer the prayer. So if you notice, we got a table set up here. We got a table set up over there. These are what I'm going to call prayer tables. The Bible talks about altars, and And I've been to a lot of different church services where at the end of the message, the pastor will say, come to the altar, bring your prayers, bring your troubles to the altar, lay them down. And it's usually a pad on the ground or something, and there's no real altar. When I think about the Old Testament altar or the biblical altar, I think about a pile of rocks, something that was built. I Googled it. It says an altar is a raised area in a house of worship where people can come and honor God and pray. So I went on the lookout for a raised table, one that's off the ground. I've been to, like I said, a bunch of church services where they say come to the altar and there's kneeling pads. In this church right here, behind these curtains, there's kneeling pads that run all the way down and a rail for you to kneel down on. Let's do something different. This is a raised area. Now, they're bar tables. Many of y'all have experience with those already. But I have a Bible on it, a cross. You can come to this any way you want to. I picture head down. You can hold a cross, you can put your hands on the Bible. Those white sheets, those little white slips of paper that Christina talked about, and I said if you didn't get a bulletin, you probably won't get one of those. It's where you write your prayer request. Bring it to the prayer table. Sit it down here on the prayer table and just say, God, it's yours. Walk off. Amen. God, that's yours. I mean, that's a prayer. It's really that simple. We really try to complicate this, and it's not. These tables are going to be set up every church service. We're going to set them up before, just like we do with everything else. It'll all be set up. And if you have something on your mind, something on your heart, and you come in and you're here more than 5 minutes before countdown, come to this table. Come to this table and ask God to intervene. He does. He'll intervene. He'll take over. He'll step in. Ask Him to. I'm going to get Jesslyn and John and Nicole and Aunt Lori to come up front right here. Now this is different. These guys here are here to receive your confession. Confess, and the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. I know these guys. They're believers. Their prayers are powerful. Come and ask for them to pray for you. Gosh, we all need it. We all need it. There's something going on in our lives that needs to be prayed over. You can stop here, offer up that prayer, offer up that gift. God, it's yours. And then come receive some blessing. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you. Thank you what you do. We thank you that you sent your son, that he gave his life so that we could live forever. Lord, I ask that you intervene with your supernatural power. Come down and change the things that are going on in our life. Get the evil one off our back. Help us, Lord. We need you. Amen.